praise this morning. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, isn't it a great opportunity to be back in the house of the Lord this morning? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Amen. I'll tell you what happened last night. Heaven bent over and kissed this service last night. If you wasn't here, I know you wherever you was at, that's your business. But if you wasn't here, you missed an absolute tremendous, tremendous service. You appreciate the word of the Lord. Isn't it getting better all the time? Praise the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand this morning. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord on Sunday morning. What a privilege. Boys, play a little bit.
Up in the days of old, I wrestle with the Lord, and instant with a courage bold, I stood upon His word.
Let's sing it again.
No, I would not be denied. Oh, I would not be denied.
Till my Jesus came and He made me whole. I would not be denied.
Oh, Satan said. And He would not hear my prayer.
We don't believe that neither.
But praise the Lord.
But we do believe this.
Little bride, praise
Hallelujah.
The Lord. His work is done.
Glory.
For Christ, the mighty God, He right here. But praise the Lord.
You are
praise. Praise the Lord. His work is done.
Yes, it is.
For Christ, our Lord, is right here.
He's right here. Praise the Lord. Well, I got a feeling we're going to have some more church here this morning. Praise the Lord. We don't have that many requests. If you want to just stand with me while we get ready to go to the Lord. Brother Rob, if you don't mind to come in a minute and pray over these prayer requests. Sister Linda Jablonski offers this testimony. I want to thank God and give Him all the glory for my healing. I also want to thank all the precious brothers and sisters for praying for me. I love you all. Well, we love those folks too, don't we? Amen. Sister Teresa Roberts tomorrow is going to have two CT scans done on the back of her head and her neck. They want to make sure there's no blockage there, and we want to just commit her to the Lord and ask God to be with her during these tests tomorrow. We just commit her to the Lord. Please pray for Randy Babb's daughter, Shay. She will be having surgery this week, so let's remember her as we pray today. We want to pray for Timothy Williams as he goes to the hospital to get some extensive dental work done. Sister Linda Krager sends that in. Sister Teresa White, Sister Belinda Ball send this in. We want to thank God for bringing our mother through a heart attack that she had on this past Thursday morning. She is at home getting stronger. Please pray that she will continue to improve and be completely well. Thank you so much for your prayers. We appreciate them so much. So we certainly want to pray for that need, that the Lord would just give her strength. This testimony, Brother Dan Dyer sends in. My children get the benefit of a reduced rate pass on Delta Airlines, but it is still space available only. Today, our daughter Cindy is flying to Alaska to visit her son's wife and twins. They are missionaries in Detroit. She was told it didn't look good for her to get a seat. She was 13th in line. She said, "Nothing is too hard for my God." She got on board and she's on her way. So somebody say praise the Lord. They want to thank God for that. Pray for the family of Lenny Johnson, who had a death of a loved one in North Carolina. So let's remember that need today. We want to pray for an unspoken prayer request for Sister Linda Lawrence. The Lord knows all about that need. Pray for my grandmother, Carol McKimmy. She had to have returned to the hospital last night. She had a seizure and is in extreme pain. Her white blood cell count is over 30,000. Sister Jennifer McGraw sends that in. I want to please pray for Brother Joel Moyer from Ohio, who has needs in his body. So let's remember that need this morning. I understand little brother William Johnson is doing much better today. We want to thank the Lord for that. Had a collapsed lung, and they had to take him to the emergency room to the hospital, and they're keeping him today for observation. So we want to thank the Lord that he is doing better. All the unspoken prayer requests, you have a need today you'd like for this group to pray about. You know what? We're serving a prayer answering God. Brother Rob, come this morning. Take us to the Lord in prayer. Certainly appreciate your brother, don't we? Amen, buddy. God bless you, Brother Rob. We love you, brother.
God bless you, brother. God bless you all. Let's pray. Dear Lord, once again, we come before you in prayer with thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for the services that you have given us. I pray, Lord God, and the thing that enters my mind is help us to stay small in our own eyes. Lord, what a delicate balance it is to recognize that God is being made live in flesh, but help us stay small in our eyes that you may lift us up. Help us to humble ourselves and receive the word, to be what it is you want us to be, and also to play that part, to play the part of Esther, to reach out for mercy from the king. On behalf of these requests, I pray, Lord God, that we could act as Esther and come before the people, Lord, and ask for deliverance, ask for mercy, ask for healing, ask for salvation. How many wonderful things are emanating forth from this pulpit, Lord God, that we can receive in our souls that can benefit the body of Christ and benefit others as well around the earth in whatever capacity they are ordained to receive. I thank you for what it's meant to me. I thank you for the prayer requests that are made. I thank you for the grace that has become so personal in my life. Help me, Lord, to do better. Let me live up to what it is that I am hearing is my prayer and the prayer for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor in the service with us today, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have all of you here. Those that would be streaming the service, we pray that the service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Could we say, God bless our streamers? Say it one more time. Amen. Got a message from someone just the other day, said it means so much to have you say that to them. This is part of their service too, even though they're not here. So we welcome all those folks. Well, let's sing a song. Amen. I held on. Aren't you glad something in you's holding on? Yes. Quitting? I don't even know how to say the word hardly. Do you? No. Don't even think about it. Do you? No. Don't think about giving up. Do you? Look at somebody and say, do you? And if they said yes, slap them. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. God bless you. We're going to sing a song. I held on. Let's sing it with all of our heart this morning.
You ask me how it is that I'm still standing. You wonder how I made it through this storm.
Oh, yes, Lord.
I can't boast of any special powers. There's no secret, I just held on. 'Cause I held on till the storm was over.
I don't claim to be a hero.
Storm was over.
Oh, not because I'm good, not because I'm great,
not because I'm strong, but I held on. I can tell that things are finally happening.
Glory.
I've got blessings I can call. I can tell the things are finally happening. I've got blessings I can call my own. Many times I wondered if I would make it, but while I was wandering, I just kept holding on.
Praise the Lord. Our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. Brother Aaron, Sister Lindsay, come on. Yes, our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. Church. Singing so good this morning. God bless you. Give our singers a nice hand as they sing for us. Now, the choir, you can be seated. The choir has this song also this morning. So, choir, I want you to be ready to come up here to sing just as soon as our brother and sister finish this morning. Appreciate you, Brother Aaron. God bless you.
Abraham prayed for the day God would give him a son. Blessed Isaac was his name, the greatest gift he'd ever known. Then came the day, who would have dreamed God would say, you gotta give him to me. And on this mountain you will prove it's you and Isaac, or it's me and you. And when I lay my eyes down with a broken heart, but my father's proud, and on this altar where he lays, just to find it wasn't him, God wanted me. Oh, most of us, I dare can say, we've all got an Isaac in God's way. And on this altar God will prove it's not your Isaac that he's wanting. He's wanting.
Glad you can say that for sure in your hearts. Amen. Beautiful song. Certainly appreciate all the work that goes into that. Any of you that know anything about singing music know that that don't happen like that. It takes a lot of arrangement, a lot of the musicians. And Sister Sandy, don't you appreciate it? I'm so grateful. am grateful that people still want to use their God-given talent for a God-given purpose. Amen. Stand together. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 6. And we'll also read chapter 7, verse 4. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. Chapter 7, verse 4. Again, the husband now describes the bride. Thy neck is as a tower of ivory. Thine eyes like the fish pools in Heshbon. By the gate of Bath-Rabbim. Thy nose is as the tower of Lebanon, which looketh toward Damascus. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel, and the hair of thine eye, or thine head, excuse me, like purple. The king is held in the galleries. The king is held in the galleries. You think you enjoyed that singing a while ago? You think you've enjoyed this service thus far? You have no idea how much he enjoys your love, your praise, not just on Sunday morning, but every day of your life. You mean everything to him. Lord Jesus, we love you today. We thank you so much, Father, for your grace and your mercy to us. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that we can be able to assemble ourselves together. Lord, many people have gathered today around the world, in Europe, Africa, and India. Lord, here in America, many of them have gathered under some denominational auspices. They heard a few minutes of a sermon, told them how to have more faith and how to have a bigger house and finer car. But Lord God, how thankful we are that we're going to be privileged to sit at the table of the King, to learn how to be better people, how to serve you better, to be more of what you want us to be instead of what we want and what we want to be. We thank you for the truth of the message of the hour. Speak to our hearts today, blessed God, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. God has so created you and I to be miniature reflections of this universe. In the creation of the universe, everything divine rolls out in the order of God's original purpose. The universe itself still maintains the divine order by which the spoken word was allocated to the universe. We know that the only thing that actually fell, and man fell, as far as in the universe itself, was this one solitary planet, which is called Earth. Other than that, everything else maintains its original position and divine order. In that sense, but yet, even after the fall, God knew that man and the Earth would be in such a far cry from what he originally made and what he originally intended. And God allowed it, though that it would not be in its perfected stage of the earth, standing upright. God knew that when it would tilt over 22.5 degrees, 23.5 degrees on its axis, that would then become four solstices, by which the earth would now experience different cycles or seasons, as we call them. God, in His grace, had allowed for this in the creation of the earth, knowing that the earth would have the ability to stand like this and function properly. But when it's tilted over like this, can it do the same? He allowed that measure of grace in the earth, where it would be allowed after the fall to be able to function. As we looked at it last night, God, in the beginning, never made us to be sad. He never made us to be heavy-hearted or to grieve or to be into the state to where we find ourselves today. And God, again, by His grace, knowing that sin would come upon the earth, that our bodies would feel the element of pain and suffering, knowing that our spirits would become down and despondent, we would reach those times in life that we wasn't sure if we even wanted to go on and live or not. We are so synchronized together by the creation of God from soul, spirit, and body that we are an interworking of a great program of a mighty God. Our spirit synchronized in our body and our soul all together, those three separate realms, yet all of them harmonized to make the complete you. And God knew that once man fell, that he would start experiencing great, heavy sadness, which he was not made to in the beginning. Man would start crying, and he would start entering into deep sorrow and lamentation, which he was never made to feel such. He was made to be happy and have the fullness of joy on our minds. We can only imagine, and I'm sure that it's nowhere near reality of how Adam and Eve must have felt in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden when God made them. But yet God knew that man would not stay that way. He could not make him to fall, but he knew that he would. Man in the Garden of Eden standing upright like this, as we would say, it was easy to see how he could have such joy and experience such peace, have such divine nature, and this divine nature brought down on the earth. But how will this man, after he's fallen and he's tilted over on his axis, as it were, how will that man then deal with life? How will that man, that woman, that entire race of humanity, how will they deal when sickness comes upon them? Their bodies are so made to where they are to renew themselves as they are eating. As they come from the fruits of the trees in the Garden of Eden, and they're constantly, their use is being renewed continuously. They might have been there for tens of thousands of years. We don't know. But they never had an ache, a pain, a sorrow. There was never a tear of sadness that came from their face. There was never a lonely day. There was never even a lonely moment. We can see how then that man could survive standing in that type of a place. But how would he survive once he falls and he begins to feel anguish and tears and sorrow? And once again, we see the magnificence of the Creator as he reflects in this second stage of the creation of his divine nature being in the man, that the man also would be able to survive in this type of status. Though he's tilted on his axis from his original purpose, he will still be able to make it and survive. And not only be a survivor, but be an overcomer. Truly, it is not what God made him for in the original, but God, by His grace, knowing that the man would come to that, we'll get to it in just a bit, but that God would be able to reflect that He was the Mighty One. I hope it makes sense to you. We know then that when God so made us in the beginning, the synchronization of man's creation didn't change that much, actually, when the fall came. Then the man, though he was linked together, soul, spirit, and body, which was prior to the fall, now it is certainly more reflected after the fall. As we looked at some of the discernments last night and how that people would worry and how they would have anguish, and actually this being inside of their human makeup, and it was so connected to the physical anatomy of the human being that for the deep thinkers, many of them, I'm sure that you saw it, those of you that are with us last
last night, that as Brother Branham would call them out, those that were deep thinkers, and tell them he saw them chased by a dog or see them on the job or whatever more, there seemed to be for so many of them a synchronization of being a deep thinker and a person who really thought about a lot of things and crossed a lot of bridges before they ever got to them. They materialized and created many things in their mind and in their life, which for most of them never did come to pass anyway. But for many of them, it wound up with stomach problems or with peptic types of situations or ulcers that would be in their body. Yet the link was made by the supernatural contact, which doctors, of course, will never be able to do. The link was made by supernatural vision. You see, this realm has been here ever since the creation of man in the beginning, but for the first time in this type of view, we actually have appearing or an ability to view into the supernatural, which has been there since the dawn of creation. And God takes a gift and breaks into the fourth dimension and begins to declare what was there as a child. You was this and this and this, and I see you as a man. I see you this. And there we're able to see it, and it all links together. Then the missing pieces that Socrates and, you know, other men would buy, psychology and doctors would be able to see, the prophetic realm breaks into it and helps us to understand. And then by that, we was able to get a view of ourselves and a view of those that are around us. So in our worry, in our anguish, and our trouble, we can see that it begins to reflect in our bodies because we are so tied together. So a person that would worry and fret, that actually, as I read to you last night, that worry can cause cancer. Fear can cause cancer. Not only chemicals, not only all kinds of things that man is doing out here. People had cancer before they ever had all these chemicals. Where'd a lot of it come from? From within themselves. Because they are so synchronized in their body. Those of you that have studied any of the mummies that they have retrieved from Egypt, you'll find out from several of them and even from many other people that they had cancer plumb back even then. Many different diseases that have existed for a long, long time. Even before gasoline, petroleum products, chemical things that we add to our diets every day, the atmosphere filled with them. But many of those things are already here because the weakness was in bread and band. And Satan would work upon the man in this tilted axis condition. He would have much more access to him, of course, after the man fell. The man being so synchronized then, that after the man is truly born again by the Spirit of God, it still allows Satan two realms by which he's able to affect the entirety of this human being. For most of you, the devil's done give up on your soul a long time ago because you are sealed by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you know, for a lot of it, he don't even try to take that part anymore, but he tries to aggravate you and worry you and make you sick and trouble you and get you down. Is that right? Now, where is all of that come from? It comes from the two outer realms which are still tilted. Now, you're a very peculiar creature today, because if you're born again, the soul inside of you went from this to this. But the two outer realms are still like this. So the body and the spirit is still affected by your makeup and by your worrying and this and that and the other. So in that realm, then we as a people of God, we have a great responsibility from the soul, which has now been raised back up, to try to work on the two outer realms so they do not rob the full effect of that which has transpired in our soul. Now, because we're not just soul, we are also spirit and flesh, then these two realms can certainly affect the type of life that we live on the earth. No matter what the great work God has done in our soul, we can still be very, very sad people. We can be a people without very much victory in our lives. We can be a people that go around feeling sorry for ourselves or having an attitude against one another or against God, simply because two realms of us are like this, and the major realm, the soul, is like this. So believe it or not, you're at 2 o'clock. I'm waiting for 3 to roll around. You're at 2 o'clock. are. Now, because you're in the cycle, then there's so much of us that still must be disciplined by the Word of God. And that is, of course, our imagination, our conscience, our memory, our reason, our affection, and see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Now, that is 10 sources or 10 gates by which the devil and all of his imps are able to try to penetrate inside of us. As far as dealing with the soul, those of you that are sealed, as I said, it's a finished work. He don't even worry about that anymore. But he still knows he has 10 other accesses by which he can be able to affect us, and just getting caught up in everyday things of life. Just getting busy and worrying about this, and you thought once your children were grown, all your troubles were over. Ha ha. And you thought once you had grandkids, all them grandkids are so grand. And you think all the problems are over. Take an aspirin and guess again. They are not all over. Once they get grown up, they bring more problems with them. And they do outweigh all the problems, of course. If they're good ones, if they ain't good ones, well, you'll have to settle all that and figure all that out. But because we have so many more things that affect our lives. Now, because every one of these things I'm mentioning to you are outside things, they can certainly affect the two outer realms of our being. And as we are made in similitude as the universe is, then within us contains the very mystery of God as the universe itself does. In that God allowed it to fall in order that he might prove who he was and who Satan wasn't. Listen to me again. God did this so that he might prove who he was and who Satan was not. In your everyday life, the same principle of God is being proven. Oh, you say, but I make mistakes. Sure you do, just like I do. But a child of God still proves who God is because he repents and asks God to forgive him. So you don't give in to the devil. You might get discouraged and feel like it sometimes. But in reality, if God's in your heart, you're going to come back to him every time, in spite of everything that you do. But a lot of what we want to look at this morning, by the help of the Lord, is us being able to live in this world in an atmosphere that is created by nonetheless other than the gene seed of God with inside of us. Now, because we are still mortals and still on temporal beings, and this body is still affected by sickness and disease and our spirit and so on, then we have many, many things to war against. But we are the winning factor if we are truly born again by the Spirit of God. But it will be discipline inside of us in order to make it work. Now in this, I want you to notice that Brother Bram says, don't have a negative testimony. Every time when you confess, well, I still feel bad today, I guess you go right straight back into the same rut that you was in the beginning. Now notice this. He said, there's not a man or woman in here that's baptized with the Holy Spirit, but would start your confession, I believe I've lost the Holy Spirit. I believe it's gone from me. You know what? Now watch what'll happen to you. He said, you'll go right down. Why? Because there's something about your confession, even though God has done a work inside of you, something about your confession that has this effect on these two parts that are still right here. What we see, what we feed on, what we talk about, what we do has a great effect on the environment or the atmosphere that we live in. Now, storms were never made initially to ever pound on the earth. The earth was never made to ever have one hurricane. But once the earth tilted, then the water temperature and the barometric pressure and lots of things which affect all of that, it threw the earth in this tilted condition. Now, Satan looking at it, of course, he walked up and down the earth when it was in its pre-Adamite world, and the pre-Adamite stage when it was on the earth in this volcanic state. He walked upon it, and his footprints, as it was left in the volcanic ash. Now, whenever he walked upon it and he saw the different things of God, being quite a scientist himself, seeing how that God did all these things, and no doubt a relevance of everything that was above it and that was all around it, and he saw what God had done. But he looked at the waters and the temperature of the waters and the barometric pressure and the air and the atmosphere and all the things that are there, and once it was tilted over, he saw the potential of now what did not exist before. So now there is the potential of hurricanes. It did not exist like this. So now there is the potential of thunderstorms because the temperature of the water temperature, the barometric pressure, all these sorts of things have now brought it to a state in this kind of condition to where he can cause absolutely havoc. You understand? It's the same way with you and I. He looks at our lives and he sees with all the potential of everything that there is around us, that one spiritual cyclone or one hurricane or one tornado after another, one thunderstorm after another, upsetting our lives. You understand, church? Why? Because these outside two elements are still in this tilted condition. Your spiritual barometric pressure, your water temperature, the surface temperature, all these things around you then bring you to where you are still in this state. Inside of you, you can have such deep, settled peace, yet your mind can be in an uproar. Your body can be so sick. Your spirit can feel so down, yet in your soul, you are sealed in the presence of God. Why? It's been straightened back up again. Notice Satan can whip you around a stump on your feelings, but he can't when it's thus saith the Lord. He can't go that. He can't wade across that. That'll defeat him. Now, when you believe that you were saved, sitting in your seat or wherever you was, you accepted it and began to confess and tell people you were saved. Now, Carolyn, I was talking about this last night after the service, and she had a really good point. She said, you know, Brother Branham said that ABCs, that's all it is, always believe Christ. She said, I believe we heard another ABC tonight. Accept, believe, confess. I said, that's good, honey. That's really good. Notice this. You accepted and began to confess and tell people you were saved. Well, you kept on saying, I'm saved. The people said, there ain't no difference in you. Now, watch how he brings this now. There ain't no difference in you. But you believed there was. Is that right? And you kept with your confession, and after a while, it worked righteousness. Now, notice in your atmosphere that is around you that from your heart, of course, people were taking your word for it. I'm saved. We don't know if you are or not. We don't know if you love the Lord or not. You tell us you do. I tell you that I do. But what you look for is for my confession to work itself or express itself in righteousness. If it doesn't, then there's something wrong. If it's all words, 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 I love the Lord, I love the Lord, and it never manifests itself in a work in our life, then we're missing something somewhere. And what he says, after a while it worked righteousness, all your neighbors and everybody knows you're saved now. Well, now they see what you believed years ago. But it may have took a while for your habits to fall off and quit doing this and have a different change in your mental attitude. And yet, little by little, the confession that you were saying began to work itself in righteousness, and people began to notice you talk different, your attitude was different, you was a complete different person. Now notice he said, what changed you? He's the high priest of your confession, sitting at the right hand of the Father, making good what you're confessing. Now does this part need the confession? No, it's already sealed in the presence of God. It's these two realms right here. This right here is what needs the confession. I'm healed, I'm saved, I'm delivered. Why? Because we're still in this fallen type of a situation. Does it make sense to you? Now, it's the same thing by healing. You accept him as your healer. You renounce your feelings. It's not by feelings, it's by faith. Say you're healed, believe you're healed, act like you're healed. Say you're healed, believe you're healed, act like you're healed. Oh, glory. Associate with those who believe in healing. Well, let me bring it on down. Say you believe in a rapture, act like you're going in a rapture. Associate with people who's going to be raptured. Amen. Say you believe the message. Say you believe the word of God for this hour. Associate with people who believe it. Amen. Notice him. God will bring you right out to a perfect soundness of health. It will not fail. Now, notice he says again, he cannot heal you or cannot save you or do one thing for you until first you, A, accept it, B, believe it, C, A, B, C. That's right. You've got to confess it. Not you've got to feel it. You've got to confess it. He's not the high priest of your feelings. Oh, I wish we could all learn that today. He's the high priest of your confession. That's right, what you confess. Now, if you get prayed for or said in this building this afternoon, the Holy Spirit would move in here and you'd feel His blessed presence and hear His word going forth saying that He healed and all so forth like that, and seeing the power of God and go forth and knowing it's for everyone, and you'd walk out and say, well, I feel just as bad as I did when I went in. He couldn't do a thing for you. And you say, well, I accept it now. Then in the morning you get up and say, well, I still got that headache. I still feel as bad as I did. Then you've dropped right down. You'll never live above your confession. Now remember, this don't need it. It's this. Our flesh, our spirit is still tainted. Oh my, notice this. You'll never live above your confession. Let the saintliest person in this building right now make up your mind that you're not a Christian anymore. And that's when you become not a Christian. When you go out and say, oh, you're a Christian. No, I used to be, but I'm not no more. You've fallen from grace. Right then, it's faith. Now remember, the prophet tells us there's two great elements in his study of the scripture that he found. And he said, I found this in two great elements from studying the scripture and from talking to the angel of the Lord. And he said, those two elements are faith and love. And they are sweethearts. And he said, faith and love get married. Love can't marry fear. Faith can't marry anxiety. Love's eternal mate is faith. Amen. And when love and faith get married in you, that gives you something, my brother, sister, that the devil can never take away from you. Because you love Him so much, you trust Him even when you don't understand what's going on. And that gives you faith. Why? They are husband and wife. Now, some folks have faith and they never have love. Some have love and never have faith. You need to have a wedding. Oh, glory. I said you need to have a wedding of love and faith. And the productivity, the offspring of love and faith will be a new body for you. Glory. Notice this now. You are fallen from grace right then. You see, it's faith. It's either faith or unbelief. You're possessed with those two powers, either faith or unbelief. Now watch this again. He said, perhaps 80 or 90% of the audience tonight would be Christian. Well, then if you got in your... that you wasn't a Christian any longer, and you would quit confessing that you was a Christian. Why? What difference does this make? Your mouth synchronized to your spirit, to your mind, to your imagination, to your conscience. Oh God, help us. You quit confessing that you was a Christian. You drop right out of the picture, see? It's your confession. Hebrews 3:1, he's the high priest of our confession. In other words, he makes intercession upon our confession. What we confess that he is, that's what he confesses that we are. Lord Jesus. So if I confess him as my redeemer, he matches my confession and says, he's my redeemed. If I say he's my savior, he says he's my saved. Oh, glory. And he will say what? He matches what I say, as long as what I say is true in reality with the word, and my experience matches my mouth. Now, you can say it all day long, but if you ain't got something in your soul that matches your mouth, you might as well blow bubble gum. But if you've got it in your soul and say it, Jesus Christ matches it in heaven. Lord, children, you can ask for nothing, no better. Notice, he cannot do one thing for you until you first believe and accept and confess it to be so. And the people today, they go out and say, well, I felt better last night, but today I'm so bad I can't hardly stand it. That's just exactly when you lose your confession and drop right down. No matter who you are, how saintly, how godly, you're a minister, clergyman, or a deacon, or whatever, or a Christian for 50 years. if you go out here tomorrow and lose faith that you're a Christian and start telling people you're not a Christian anymore, you're backslid. You're gone. Why? You're synchronized. Your mind, your mouth, your thoughts. But God wants a universe in you that is synchronized with all the planets lined up speaking the same thing. Notice again, only by your confession can you be saved. That's the most powerful weapon that God put into the hand of man. My brother Ronnie Cobb preached a message here years and years ago. Some of y'all probably remember on the power of committal. It was just an outstanding thing. God put in the hand of man is a committal and a confession. That you commit the situation. You don't understand it. You can't figure it out. You don't know what to do, but you commit it to God and believe God's going to see you through. It'll do it every time. If you believe it, accept it on those basis and believe it and stay with it. You know what? A lot of people look at symptoms. They always go around and say, well, I don't feel any better. That doesn't have one thing to do with it. It's what you believe, not what you feel.
Amen.
How many of y'all don't even feel saved sometimes? That ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm saved because I met God's requirement. Amen. Same with you. I love the way he approaches this. He says, in greatest battle ever fought, kill him, speaking of the devil, at the beginning. Stop him dead in his tracks. It ain't how long you make the war linger. It's stop it right now. Now remember, this Shulamite is on her way to marry the greatest king on the earth at this time, King Solomon. This battle raging in her mind. What am I doing? Can I believe this is me? I'm just a poor shepherd girl. Look at me. How can I ever believe this? Nobody there could understand them thoughts but her. It's the same in your world today. Your husband sitting by you, your wife, yet each of us fight our own battles and go through so many things. And these valiant men, as I've said it before, could not eliminate the battle in her mind. But they could give her the right equipment to fight with. And that's what I'm trying by God's grace to do for you today. Notice this. Stop it right now. If you come and keep them memories and conscience and everything, thinking about it, well, I might fail. Watch. I might fail. How many in here has ever failed? My, you poor, poor things. Us poor, poor things. Let me say it that way. So that's stored where? Here? Here. Memory. So how many times have you prayed for this certain thing and God still ain't done it? Does that encourage you? When you think about how many prayers you've made? When you think about your failures, does that encourage you? I'm so encouraged. I've got 3,985,327 failures just on one point in my life. I'm so encouraged. Why, that you can count that far? Don't tell me that encourages you. It don't encourage none of us. Where's that stored, though? In our memory. God forgives us. We might even get to a spot where we can forgive ourselves. And that's a great thing. Forgive ourselves of our failures. But it's still stored. And Satan just reaches right inside there. Now, God, I'm going to do it this time, Lord. I'm going to do better. I'm going to... All it takes. Open the door of memory. Wasn't it last year about this time? You promised the Lord the same thing. And if I remember correctly, oh, here it is. Yes, here it is. 6 months before that, you said the same thing. And 6 months, as a matter of fact, you've been saying this ever since that knothead is up there in that pulpit preaching all this stuff. Now look at all this trail of yours. And what has every one of them led to? Failure, 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 failure. Need I go on? And what do? You look at yourself in the door of memory. And Satan can see this. Go to that. Mission accomplished. Door of memory is shut. you won't even come back Wednesday night. As a matter of fact, you're not even sure you're going to stay to the end of the service. Some of you are just kind of contemplating, you know. Why?
Your memory defeated you. It wasn't even a demon. It was not even some horrific loss or some terrible sin. It was the memory of your failures. And you looked at yourself. It was you. It wasn't your brother. It wasn't your wife. It wasn't me. It was you. You looked at yourself. And you so discouraged yourself.
Y'all ever encourage yourself? Well, you say, I didn't know I was supposed to. Well, according to Scripture, David encouraged himself. I'm one of the greatest discouragements I've got. So I figure there's a flip side on this other side of the universe. I figure I can also encourage myself. I receive great encouragement from y'all. Y'all text me an email and send me cards and all that. And all that is wonderful. And I appreciate every one of them. Let me tell you, I appreciate every one of them. I get from around the world. I do. I need them. But no matter how many you send me, if I don't take what you're saying and believe it's the truth and encourage myself with it, you wasted your postage stamp. It's the same with the Word of God. God can send you sermon after sermon after sermon, and you can nod your head. That's the truth. That's the truth. But it's what you do with it when you walk out them back doors. Lord, I want to apply it to my life. You sent that for me today, Lord. That was specially for me. I accept it. I believe it. I'm going to be changed by it. Oh, my. Our senses and all these things important. Sure they are. Watch this, page 19, paragraph 2. You've got your senses, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. They're all right, but don't trust them unless they agree with the Word. Now, sometimes your feelings will be right on target. Sometimes see, taste, feel, smell, you'll be right on target. Imagination, conscience, memories, effects, exactly right. But most of the time it won't. Most of the time they're liars, which means you're lying to yourself. Oh, children, I know some of y'all come today to be exalted, lifted up to the high heavens. You've heard me preach enough well enough to know better than that. If I can help you see you and get you delivered from you, you are going to lead you to a body change. Notice this, and he said, if they disagree with the Word, don't listen to them. Imagination, conscience, memory, reason, affection, they're all right if they agree with the Word. But if your affection doesn't agree with the Word, get rid of it. You'll blow a flu right quick. See, if your reason disagrees with the Word, get away from it. If your memory, your imagination, if your conscience, anything disagree with that, what's on the inside, get rid of it. I've tried this before. I've prayed this way so many times. I've done this over and over and over again. You're living off of memory. Romans chapter 4, let's skip this next quote here, Brother Caleb. Let's jump down to Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations. Before him who believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. Notice now Abraham's trait in verse 17 again. Who quickeneth the dead, God, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Isn't that lying? No, it's not. Not if you're speaking by faith. So you're calling things that aren't there, that don't actually exist, but you're speaking to them like they're there. Now some of y'all got that quirky little smile on your face. You always knew there's something wrong with me, didn't you? Now he's hearing voices. Well, it's not so much voices. I'm interested in hearing it's the voice. Who against hope? Against hope. Believed in hope. That he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And the church said, amen. Are you this man's children? Being not weak in faith, considered not his own body now dead. Amen. 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 Now he's not talking about dead of human life. but dead of human ability to propagate. Now remember, he still had strength to propagate Ishmael, but God let him go a few more years to die out. One of these days you're going to look back and realize why with some of us it took so long to reach places in our life. You needed this extra 15 years to die out to yourself. Well, glory. Abraham could still father Ishmael, but now he's reached the time he cannot do it. He is dead. Oh my, his body now dead. He was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he's dead and she's dead. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'll be glad when I can look you all in the face and say, Jim and Linda both dead. Skip and Judy both dead. Donnie and Carol dead. You're dead, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead. Then we're getting close to the time of life. I'm talking about when you're in a casket, but I'm talking about when you are dead to your abilities of trying to bring the promise to pass. When you come to that spot that you realize, I cannot do this, I cannot produce this, you are dead, my friend. Now take a journey with me, if you will. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We don't know how long that perfect creation existed. Millions of years. Billions of years. Who knows? But we know there was a great vast of time and an expanse of time between verse 1 and verse 2 of Genesis 1. So God created the heavens and the earth. Period. Now, God made this beautiful, beautiful place. Not in chaos. Not in formlessness. But in a beautiful paradise. Now there was a being and several of his associates which had already fallen into the invisible dimension we call the heavens, heaven of heavens, before the foundation of the world was ever laid. Now he was God's prime minister, if I can say it this way, or his vice regent. In other words, of course, in Israel 1959, God's right-hand man to fellowship. This great cherubim, oh my. Now, the Bible teaches us that after the creation of this earth, the heavens and the earth, heavens, generations, plural, and the earth, singular, then something, as we look at verse 2, something happened there. There was some catastrophic, cataclysmic change that had brought upon the earth, and the earth changed. Something happened to it. Because we see this is not the handiwork of the original creation of God. Something has now changed in it. Now, of course, what God does is this prime minister, this vice regent in heaven, has now exalted himself in his dominion. And he believes that he has life. He believes that he has the ability to be like God. Now remember, he made his boast, I will ascend above the most above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I will be like God. So our Father speaks his word to the earth. And the earth blows over out of its orbit. Something begins to happen. Tumult comes on the earth. Volcanic explosions. The streams become polluted. The trees die. Science has broken into these geological ages. They say the earth is millions of years old. I don't doubt that at all. Right. It might have been millions or even billions of years. This being says he has life. So God places his judgment upon this earth, and he says to him, all right, there you go. Bring it to life. So God backs off. The angels of God back off. And God says to his prime minister, his vice regent, so you are so convinced you have so much power. Give the earth life. Resuscitate her. Bring her back to her pristine state. What's this? That day on Calvary, 1960, the prophet said Satan had the earth. The very rocks that he once walked up and down on the earth, burning brimstone. Lucifer was the son of the morning. He walked on the earth when it was a burning volcanic. Those same rocks that had cooled off when Jesus died at Calvary belched forth glory out of the earth. The price that was paid in the bondage of Satan was broke. So God acts in judgment upon the earth. No doubt he must have made some sort of claim. I can do this. I can do that. If I had the earth, I could do. God said, fine. Let me fix it for you. So the judgment of God breaks forth on the earth. If you only understood your parable right there. That's the same thing that happens to you when you get the Holy Ghost. The judgment of God breaks on you. That ain't my imagination. That's what the prophet said in Future Home. The judgment of God breaks loose on you. That's why you'll never stand in the judgment. You've already stood it. The perfect God who does everything absolutely in perfection. He must now prove who he is and who Satan is not. Okay, you've got all this mouse. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll do something else. Prove it. Put up or shut up. Your life giver, your light bringer. Go down there and bring light. You think you're so brilliant. You think you're so great. Go down there and bring light on the earth. This is why, friends, I love it when you feel his face turn red in the service. God's still embarrassing his hide by the word. The earth is now turned to a wasteland. Void. Formless. Without shape. And it's so dense that darkness just covers it. Go ahead, light bringer. Show us what you can do. It's a wreck. It's a ruin. It's void. How long was it? We don't know. It was as if though God said to the universe of spirits and angels, I will now challenge him. Let him prove who he is. Maybe God gave him 1,000, 2,000, 10,000, 50,000, 100,000, 1,000,000 years. And near the earth is... Ooh. year 385,000. He still ain't done nothing. 1.7, 2.8, 3.9, whatever it was, millions of years. He still hasn't been able to do one thing. I'm trying my best to be nice, but from this point on, I don't know. Don't you understand that's you? Don't you see yourself? Look what he done to you. You was this trauma out there turning upside down. He could have had you for a million years and never give you life. And 5 minutes in the presence of God, you come to life again. Why? He's got to prove who he is. Proud Lucifer. Arrogant, selfish, proud Lucifer. So finally, in the fullness of time, he acted. Are you done? I mean, come on now, man. 3.5 million years, ain't that enough? Have you made a fly yet, a flea, a gnat? What about a peach, an apple? I'm not asking for the trees, just give me one peach. Oh, Satan's got science, he's got computers, he's got airplanes, but can he create one newborn son or daughter of God? No. God can come right here in a few minutes and create, oh glory to God, by the breath of God, and give a new birth, a new birth, a new birth, a new birth, eternal life, and the devil can't get a fly life. Notice with me in Isaiah 45:18. Watch Isaiah as it goes back. In this time frame now. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made, formed and made, two Hebrew words, formed and made it and established, created it not in vain. Look at the meaning of the word vain. Formlessness. Confusion, emptiness, nothingness, empty space, wasteland, wilderness, place of chaos. Now this is Genesis 1 in the original. When he created, he did not create it in nothingness. Genesis 1, 2 is the earth in a state after the judgment of God in nothingness. Like you. Like I was. But he never created me like that in the beginning. It was after judgment fell upon the world, on the human race. But I was found in void. I was found without form. I was found without motive. Without, you understand me, church? I was found without that. And yet we are the people of God who believes God can raise from the dead. And what did Abraham say? I believe that God can raise from the dead. He must have saw himself in the earth. Notice Isaiah said, he created it not in worthlessness, formlessness, confusion, emptiness. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. When God created the earth, he did not create chaos. Now, let's read Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens, the heaven rather, and the earth, created in perfection, beauty, and holiness. Then watch now. Something happens between verse 1 and 2, and judgment strikes it. And the earth was without, very same Hebrew word as Isaiah 45, formlessness, confusion, emptiness, nothingness, empty space, wasteland, wilderness, place of chaos. Now, you can't make God lie. Either God created it in chaos or he didn't. He didn't in verse 1, but it's in that state in verse 2. I may find myself in verse 2 now, but I'm trying to get back to verse 1. Don't you understand that's what's happened to you?
when you were like this in the world, all three of you were this way, tilted on your axis of mortality. What happened, Brother Jim? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep and resurrected your seed gene and placed it right upright where it's right back in the Word. It has no bad days. It has no up and down. It has no trials or no test. And the earth was without form. Without form and void. But Isaiah says God never created it that way. So the judgment of God strikes it to prove a point. Believe it or not, you're here today to prove a point. The very reason this evil age is even here is to prove you're not like Eve. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Okay, you've had 3 million, 5 million, 10 million years, whatever, to do your thing. Apparently you can't do it, so pardon me. While I turn this world upside down. And the Spirit of God. And the word Spirit there in Hebrew is Ruach. And God is Elohim. Ruach Elohim. And Ruach is the Spirit, but it also is one with wings who flutters. So here comes Ruach. And he broods and makes love to the earth and goes, glory to God. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Now these are not original creative words. But which now is God making the sun, the moon, and the stars that are already in existence? He's not creating the moon and the stars. God is now permeating, wanting that which has already been created to permeate and influence this attribute called the earth. Let there be not a sun, let there not be stars, but let there be light, ore. Let thy light now come upon the earth. The bright morning star over here couldn't do it. The light bringer couldn't do it. I'll show him what spoken word can do. I'll show him what life can do. I gave him 3.5 million years or whatever more. I have now, in a matter of seconds, transformed this earth. God is now to demonstrate what he and he alone. And if you're sitting here today, a son or daughter of God, born in his image, may I say to you, if deity lives inside of you, and you can ever get yourself out of the way, and you can take God's word, let it embed itself in your heart, and from your heart come out of your lips instead of out of your head into your lips, and you speak that word, it'll be the same thing. Stay at your speaking. Lord. I wonder what God could do for us out here this morning. When the prophet preached this in 1962, he said, if everybody in this building to get together in 5 minutes and get your heart centered right on the faith of the promise of the Word of God, there wouldn't be one sick person among us. He said there wouldn't be one person leave this place today without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But we let our imagination, our memory, our conscience, and all these other things get in the way. And we focus so much on these two-thirds of us that gets in our way constantly. Look back to your type in the earth. Amen.
The darkness has now enshrouded it for millennia. You imagine as he says, let there be light. And there my little seed come to life. That's what happened to you the day you got really converted. The same God said, let there be light on that habitable part of him. That seed gene. Watch. We now change the scene to some years after this. We move into the Garden of Paradise, the Garden of Eden. We see a man and a woman overshadowing, hiding behind some bushes. And they've never done this before going to church. Always before they'd go to church and they wanted the front row. But today they want the back. Or the vestibule or one of the recliners or one of the fellowship hall. Even though they're perfectly healthy. And they hear it coming. Oh God. The prophet said the saddest scripture in the Bible. God running to the Garden of Eden. Adam! Adam! Man. Where are you? He knew where he was. I'm over here! I'm over here, Lord!
Think about it.
I'm naked. Who told you that you're naked? Let's follow them. I hear it slapping their legs as they go out. I look and I see blood as it's running down their bodies. It's hitting their legs on both sides, front and the back, all around. They're crying and weeping. And they get right to the garden gate. And they turn back for one last look. Bye, Eden. I loved you when I was here. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me. Now they walk out. And they're in the same spiritual state that the earth was in. And Genesis 1:2. Man is now dead. So man tries to reconvene. Man tries to reestablish himself. He breaks himself in families. And then he comes to the Tower of Babel and he tries to reunite himself again. And he's got all these different things that he's done. And the more he tries to wash himself, the worse it gets. But God's purpose was to prove, I am life. So what does he do? He comes again to the earth. This time not. But this time it went. Glory to God. What's he coming to? Raise a dead people. He raised a dead earth. Now he's coming to raise a dead people. Hallelujah! This is the God of Abraham. He who can raise the dead. And we look at it today and say, my body is only a temporary setback. My failures are only a temporary setback. I serve a God who raises the dead. My hopes are gone, but he raises dead hopes. Maybe I should ask the earth. Earth, can life be brought out of death? And earth would say, Donnie, would you give me that handheld? Because I might take off on a spell here. Yes, let me witness to you today. When there is no hope, he can speak and bring hope. For I was out in the abyss. I was turning. I was tossing. I was upside down. I didn't know what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, he come near and I felt his flutter. Amen. And from his flutter, something began to bring forth and something began to happen. It wasn't long that I was able to endure that paradise state, but I am not anxious today. Though man's blood has been spilt upon me, though man still reigns me through satanic power, will raise me again in the millennium. May I say the God who raised me from the dead when I was a sinner will give me a new body in the rapture.
Amen.
I am an overcomer. Let's read a couple of scriptures there, Brother Caleb, 2 Timothy 1:10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So if we are Abraham's seed, we can look at that promise and remember Abraham never even had a new birth. So even the soul of Abraham was still like this. Soul, spirit, and body was still tilted on the axis of time and mortality. But he looked at those things which were not and said, they're there, you just don't see them. After God appeared to him, he said to Sarah 28 days afterwards, how you feeling, honey? No different, Abraham. Sarah, bless God, don't you doubt it. We're going to have that son anyhow. The prophet laid out a drama for us. Said Abraham went down to the doctor's office and said, I'd like to make arrangements. Me and my wife's going to have a baby.
Come on, dear. Let's go into the doctor's office. We'd like to see the doctor, the pregnancy guy, whatever y'all call him here.
And how can I help you all? We'd like to set up for a delivery, and we'd like to pay in advance, of course, because we're not crooks, and we'd like to be able to set up... Okay, sure. When are y'all expecting this? Well, we're not sure. Then the next 100 years, 50 years, or, I see. Okay, sure. Yeah, y'all just leave your card out there with the receptionist, and we'll give you a call. You have a cell phone? We'll text you. We'll let you know. Whenever y'all get closer, just check back with us. You imagine it was the laughing stock. Doctor talk, nurse talk, and they talk to one another. Hey, Grandma does that. I believe that's making fun of us, don't you? That's all right. The God who brought us out of Mesopotamia and raised us from the dead will change our body. You believe it, Sarah?
If you say so, Abraham, whatever you say.
38, 30 more days, 40 days. How you feeling, Sarah?
No different.
Sarah, don't you doubt it. One day, Sarah was real fussy. The pastures was drying up and the water holes was getting dry. and two angels stepped into human bodies. Maybe he pulled his long cloak, his hooded thing up real deep where his face would be, you know, kind of deep back in it. Abraham said, wow, who in the world would that be? We expecting any company? Sometimes at least when you're expecting is when it shows up. So he goes up and look at him. Of course, hospitality was a great thing in those days. He come up and said, how you doing? How you doing? He said, Abraham. Oh, my Lord. My Lord. He recognized that voice. Children, I hope we have the same ability. We're going to recognize his voice one day. Amen. The same one that called you when you was lost. The same one. Oh, a lot of folks, some want to just idolize Brother Branham's voice. They want to idolize Brother Branham's voice or a preacher's voice. To me, what's important is the voice behind the voice. Amen. It wasn't Brother Branham's voice that called me to Calvary. Amen. It wasn't Brother Branham's voice that called me to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I appreciate that voice. I listen to it over and over again, but I don't just hear the voice of a Kentuckian. I hear the voice of God using the voice of a Kentuckian. I hope that's what you've heard today. Oh, hallelujah. Look, friends, you're in your palanquin. You're on your journey. You're all alone in one sense. You're thinking, can I do it? Can I? I've got so many things. Look at my father. Look at my mother. Look at what happened to me. Look at all this stuff. Sort through all that, Shulamite. He loves you. Amen. He's given you his grace. You are highly favored in his eyes. You say, how can I know that? Well, one good thing, just look and see what he feeds you. If you folks are garbage rats, then God should feed you the scraps out of the dump. But look at what he feeds you. Praise the Lord. Look at your diet. Look at what he feeds you. That ought to tell you how he thinks about you. Look at how many times he's moved for you. He loves you. He loves you. As he raised the earth from the dead, so he raised you from the dead. You are a new creature. Don't you love him? Amen. Here you are. And here you are. These two parts. Keep confessing. Keep believing. Will you struggle? You will. Will you feel down? You will. But remember which one of you it is. Keep hanging in there, earth. Better days are coming. Don't you love him with all your heart? Let's bow our heads together. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you today. I hope they've been able to make sense of it, Lord. I hope I didn't chop it up back and forth. Lord Jesus, open our understanding. Father, we are in the palanquin of Solomon, as it were, the cedar chariot. Hallelujah. It's transporting us from our home to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We know in 1965, when the church age book was being finished, you allowed it to be written and put in there that the gates was already hung. So I imagine if 1965 the gates had been hung, you wanted to give us a progress update. Praise God. The prophet told us in Future Home, you'd been there for many, many thousands of years, preparing that new city. The devil's walked up before your throne where you are now, but he ain't never going to set a foot in that new place. It's a construction zone and it's off limits to devils. Praise God. The streets have already been laid and the gates have already been hung. Praise God. And the angels of God are waiting anxiously, breathlessly, for the inhabitants of the earth
We were those which were without form and void, and darkness covered us. Satan had us. Oh, he said, I'll do this, and I'll do that, and I'll do something else. I'll turn him into a rock and roll star. I'll turn her into this and that and the other. And what were we? Without form, without purpose. And in a moment of time, the Spirit of God struck our heart and changed us forever. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus. As the earth was raised from the dead in Genesis 1, 2, even so we have been raised from the dead. As the earth is waiting for her body change, when she will go into the millennium, even so are we waiting for ours, as we will go into the rapture. Lord, we're going to think on your word, we're going to talk your word, we're going to speak your word, we're going to accept, believe, and confess. We're going to feed on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man till we eat ourselves into a new body. Praise God. Minister to us today, Lord. The sick, the weary, the down, the oppressed. Not just in this visible audience, but Lord, the many, many, many more that stream it. Those, Lord, who podcast it, whatever more. May the anointing, I pray, travel through those airwaves. Lord Jesus, those that will stream it. May you minister to your people. Father, as I've preached today with these prayer calls in my pocket, you know these needs, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, you who raised the dead, we know that divine healing is a temporary resurrection. Our body is temporarily resurrected from the symptom of that disease or sickness. May the Spirit of God go with these prayer calls, I pray. We worship you, Lord. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of God? Don't you love him, children? Oh, my. What shall we say about these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Praise God. We worship you, Lord. I exalt you, Lord. I magnify your name. I worship you today, living God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Forgive us, Lord, for thinking negative, talking negative, being negative. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, for acting like we don't have a friend in the world. Forgive us sometimes for looking so sad, like we don't even have a Savior. Forgive us, Lord. Hallelujah. I believe with this raised axis in the soul, it can still express a happiness in the midst of trouble. A joy in the midst of trials. How shall I conduct myself and prove myself to him? I conduct myself with joy amidst the trials that he in his wisdom allows to come to pass in our lives. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Shall we sing something together, saints? You love him today. Do you see yourself? Do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as one that was raised from the dead? We've been raised, by the way. We've been raised from the dead. Oh, glory. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just worship him together now, shall we? Oh, my. Now we're walking in the newness of life. Your soul, if you can imagine, your soul, paradise, is alive in your soul today. When Sarah said to Abraham, shall I have pleasure with my Lord? The word pleasure is Eden. Shall I have the garden of Eden with my Lord? No wonder the prophet of God said the tree of life is blooming, is already blooming in those who've been born again. Praise God. Your soul. This is why we can feel so wonderful and then feel awful when we walk outside the door. Somebody say something to you and aggravate you and upset you. And the kids do this, that, and other. Oh, my. You go through a drive-thru, that'll take the victory from about anybody. You know, some of my just got to where I say, give me whatever you want me to have. You're going to do it anyway. How many times do you have to say a single with ketchup and cheese only and a large Dr. Pepper?
Looks like a German could understand that. Somebody that don't even speak English. Did you say three singles with cheese and no mayonnaise? I said a single with ketchup and cheese only. Sorry, sir, my headset was going out. Does my soul bother that? My soul don't even like Wendy's. Don't you see, children? And the earth was raised from the dead. And it wasn't no time after her resurrection. She started experiencing storms and convulsions and tumults of cyclones. Just like you. After you were born again. But think of it. The storm you're going through today might be the last one you'll ever have. And if it ain't this one, it might be the next one. Because soon, and very soon, we are going to see the King. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I know I had you to pray for each other last night, but would you mind doing it again today? Children, I just love you so much. I just hate to think that there wouldn't be any need that wouldn't be met. Can we just lay our hands on one another? Let's just offer a word of prayer for that one standing by you. Maybe they're sick. Maybe they're going through a real difficult time. The Lord knows. Maybe they're like the earth. They're in that formlessness and shapelessness, and they've not been born again yet. Maybe that little pillar of fire burning in your soul. Get near to them and help them. Let's just pray for one another. Lord Jesus, I love them today. And I think if I, a mere mortal with such human frailty and weakness, can love them. Lord God, how much more do you love us? You gave yourself for us to raise us from the dead. That would have been sufficient, really. But you loved us so much. You loved us beyond the resurrection of our soul. And you wanted us to be happy. You said it's your will that we would prosper and even be in health, even as our soul prospers. You want us to be happy and have the joy of the Lord. And you said the joy of the Lord is our strength. And you said happy is the people whose God is the Lord. And you said it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. So Lord, you see what we're going through today. Maybe they have disappointments in their life, heartache, sorrows. Lord, some of them lost a mother. Some of them lost a father, a child, something going on in their life, a job. Lord Jesus, may you come and comfort us today, Father, I pray. May you bring healing, Lord. May you bring deliverance. May the Spirit of God just go among us right now, Lord. May you minister personally to them, Father. I believe we've been ministered to by the Word, but sometimes we just need that personal touch from you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, I pray you touch us today, Lord. I need it, Lord. I'm not ashamed to say it. Lord God, I've got quite a year ahead of me if you let me live, and Lord, quite a few meetings and so on. I just pray you'd help me, Lord. Anoint me, dear God, with your presence. Oh, Jesus, we love you today. We worship you, Heavenly Father, with all of our hearts. We magnify you, Lord God, as the earth in its Eden beauty was to spread out as the sunlight began to strike through the great trees. And the mist was now being warmed off of the earth. Oh, how beautiful it was. Lord, we from our souls, death has been driven back. We as a garden of Eden are spreading forth and growing and becoming more mature in the Word. Praise God. We're waiting for the outer court on that outside and that second part to enter into the garden of Eden when we shall get a body change. Our spirit will be replaced with our theophany and our body will be replaced with a glorified body. Truly we shall be the garden of Eden. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Hey, let's worship him together. Can we sing? You want to just sing to him a little bit now? Want to just worship him a little bit before you go? I know you're probably getting a little bit hungry and all that. I'll tell you one thing. To me, there ain't nothing no better than being here in the presence of God. Let's just minister to him back now just a little bit. Now I'll let you go. I won't keep you too much longer. Oh, my.
Can we sing over us just a little bit first?
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I love you,
Lord Jesus.
I love
you. Yes,
Lord. You.
Heavenly Father.
That's
yes.
What Calvary.
Lord Jesus.
Sweet.
Jesus. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. And many can say it has been wonderful to be in the house of God today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, as much as we hate to come to the close of another awesome day in your presence. Lord, I struggle so much. I pray, I study, I get tore all to pieces every time I get ready to preach. I pace the office back there, back and forth, back and forth. I'm scared I've got things in the wrong place. And Lord, once we get here, and you come, and we're in your presence, I don't care if we ever leave or not. It's the greatest peace I have. The greatest joy is being in your presence. Lord, as we leave this place today, may we never leave your presence and your presence ever leave us. When the rapture is called, may there not be one of us that won't be there that day. May we not be looking around to see if this brother made it or that brother made it. May we be there, Father. May the divine family of God, and we know this prayer will be answered, the circle will not be broken of the family of God. Keep us in your grace, Lord. It'll be pleasing to you. Bring us back again Wednesday night. We'll come again with anticipation of your word. We love you, Lord. And the saints said,
amen.
Turn and shake somebody's hand. Say, God bless you. It's been good to see you today. Good to be in the house of God. God bless you, saints. I'll see you, Lord willing, Wednesday. Remember to pray for us a week from Tuesday. Carol and I will be flying out, meeting Brother Tim and Sister Karen down in Atlanta, flying over to Switzerland for the meetings there. Brother David Seiler's in South Africa. Be coming back home, I think, tomorrow maybe. We'll be there in Switzerland for several days in the meetings. I have to start it out on Friday night and then Saturday night. Several different brothers that will be there. So remember the meetings, that the Lord will just be with us. It's a wonderful time, isn't it? Wonderful time to be the people of God. God bless you. I love you with all my heart. Go in the fear of God.
You are not a God created by human hands.
Amen.
You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need.
Amen.
Anything we can give by your plan, that's just the way it is. 'Cause you are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, power none can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God, and that's just the way it is.
began. You were on your throne. Oh, you are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. Oh, you are God alone. You're unchangeable. Time began. You are on your throne. You are God.